Way back in 74, actually before that, we had spent 4 years here in College Place going to school. Then we left here and we went back to Kansas City, Kansas, spent 4 years back there while my husband became a doctor. And then from there we went to Tucson, Arizona for internship. We were there a year. Then we left there and went to Yakima, Washington, and was trying to decide just what all we would do and where we were going to have our office and so on. Anyway, we found a place to have the office, and we got started. And it didn't take too long until we had 300 patients that we were seeing. Not every day, but but a good share of the time. And then as time went on, we thought maybe that we should have a private airplane. It was not something that I was interested in, but the doctor and my son thought it would be a great thing to have an airplane. So we got the airplane, and he was busy with that quite often whenever he had a chance. But anyway, as our life went on, there were many patients to deal with. And by the way, I only found out 10 minutes ago I was going to be up here today. So we got started with inviting patients to church. And when we moved to Yakima, we looked around for a smaller church to go to, and they needed some help at our little Cove church in that area. So we went there, and a lot of the times, well, we only had a pastor come there once a month. So guess what? The doctor was up on the platform a lot of the time on Sabbath, and we knew ahead of time when that was going to happen. But through the years, you learn a lot of things. And there was one Sabbath, well, we had quite a few patients that had what I call has-been Adventists. They were no longer going to church. And so we started praying for these people. And one Sabbath when I was there, this lady came to me and was visiting with me for a little bit. And then she said, "Well, your husband is my doctor." And I said, "Oh." So when we got outside, we were talking. And she told me that she hadn't gone to church for a long, long time. So we would go and visit with some of these people on Friday afternoons. We took Friday afternoon off from the office, and we would go and visit the folks that were has-been church members. So this one lady that I got acquainted with in a few minutes, we were standing there talking, and she said, well, I used to go to church here, but I don't anymore. I put my arm around her and I said, can I pray with you? She said, oh, sure. Here we were, outside, traffic going by. And I prayed with her. And then when I got ready to walk away, I turned to her, and this was Friday. Friday afternoon is when we done these visiting things. I turned to her and I said, I will see you in church tomorrow morning, and walked away and left her. Didn't give her a chance to say, well, I can't come, or I won't be there, or anything. When I walked into the Cove Church the next morning, there sat the lady. And they continued to come. And there were many times when we came across people who had not been to church for quite some time. We would invite them to come, and they would show up. Then there were times when we had, after we had the airplane, of course I was scared to death of that thing, but we had a medical thing that was going on back in Arizona, and all the doctors everywhere were supposed to come to this thing. So we flew back there, but I'll tell you what, I felt like kissing the ground every time I stepped out of that airplane, because it was a long ways to travel, and not knowing, we got into a big windstorm, clouds, and then it started raining, and so on. But anyway, we made many trips here and there. We had the chance to visit with a lot of people and invite them to come back to church and that sort of thing. Well, then we wanted to go to the World's Fair in Spokane. And so we were trying to decide what to do, how we were going to get there. And of course, my husband and my son wanted to fly there. I was not interested in getting into the airplane. So they said, well, there wouldn't be room for my 9-year-old daughter and me and the two of them in our private plane. So my husband said, well, you and Denise leave early in the morning, because we were going to drive to Spokane. It was a 3-hour drive, and they would wait a while, and then they would fly up. So that's what we decided to do. So when I got there, I went out to the airport, and they came in, and then we drove over to the academy where our daughters were and picked them up and took them to the World's Fair with us. And we had a great time there. And then when that was over with, we drove back to the academy and dropped the girl off. And visited with the principal, and then it was decided that I should leave in the car and head for Yakima because it was going to take me at least 3 hours. And they would leave an hour later or an hour and a half later. So anyway, I drove home, and when I walked into the house, the phone was ringing. Well, our phone rang all the time. There were patients that were always calling. And so I answered the telephone, and somebody was informing me that the airplane was going to be late in leaving, something to that effect. So I kept praying that everything was going to be all right. And then I drove home, and there was another person that also was part owner of the airplane. When I walked in the house, the phone was ringing, and he said, "Oh, thank God," he said, "I was wondering where you guys were at." And I said, "Hold everything." I said, "Denise and I are here, but they are not here yet." "Oh, well, I don't like the sounds of that." So later on in the afternoon, several people, patients, had called me and wondered where their daughter was. And I told them that they're headed home. So after we had left and kept waiting for a phone call, and in the afternoon, oh, it was pretty late in the afternoon when this guy called me, and he said that they needed to talk to the doctor. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, he isn't here." Well, a short time after that, I got another phone call, and they were reporting to me that the plane had crashed. And so I asked him, I said, "How many coffins will this be?" And he said, "Two." So I wasn't sure what was going to take place from then on right away, because the front page of the paper came out with all this information. And so then our phone really started ringing. The patients would call me. They were in tears. They were upset. They had lost their doctor. They didn't know what to do. So I didn't know anything about the background, religious background of all these people. So I would say, "May I pray with you?" So I would pray with all of these patients that were calling me, because they just couldn't handle the fact that they didn't have their doctor anymore. And so then after that, I drove over here to what they called Walla Walla College. And I thought about going to school and take a couple of subjects. And I was having a hard time trying to figure out. There was no available apartments. And there was one that might be available. So I went and I talked to the people about it, and they said, well, these other folks want it. And I said, well, if they don't take it, please call me, let me know. Okay. So I drove back to Yakima, and the very next morning, they called me. Those other people didn't take that place. Do you still want it? And I said, yes. So I jumped in my car, drove all the way back over to Walla Walla, and went to see about the place and find out what all I was going to need there. And we were able to be able to move into it. And this was a basement apartment and a rather cold one to live in. And I got to backtrack. We had taken our girls up to the academy and left them there. And then one of the owners of the airplane flew up to the academy, told the girls what had happened, and he brought them home. So when the girls come walking in to the house, I said, did you get kicked out? And they said, no, Mother, we don't want you paying for us at the dormitory. We might as well come and live with you and go to the academy just around the corner. And I said, well, that's great. So these were some of the things that took place. And we lived in this small basement apartment. Well, then I started looking around, and somebody told me that there was a new house being built close to where we lived. And I kept looking at it and the progress that was going with this house. And I went over and I asked them if they were going to be renting it or if they were going to sell it. Well, these people thought that I was going to rent it. So I drove back to Yakima, picked up some more stuff, came back, and I went to the bank because I had asked them how much they wanted for the place. So I went to the bank, got the check to pay for the house, drove back over there, went over and knocked on the door and handed the check to the lady, and her mouth fell open. She said, oh, I thought you were going to be renting it. I didn't know that you were going to buy it and pay for it in full. And I said, do you want me to take the check back? She says, oh, no. So anyway, we had to go back to Yakima and load up with everything and move into the house. And we were right there where the girls could go back and forth to the academy, walk or drive, whichever they wanted to do. And we were there then for a number of years. Then I went to the Adventist camp meeting in Oregon at Gladstone. And one day I happened to meet someone there, and we started corresponding, talking on the phone, so on. One day he called me up and he said, how much is your telephone bill? And I said, it's $100 a month because we're talking on the phone all the time. He was in California and I was here. So I said, how much is your phone bill? He said, it's $100 a month. And so we kind of laughed and talked about that. We got off of the phone. And he had time to think about it. And so then he called me up. And he said, I think it's time that we put our telephone bills together. And so I said, okay. He said, are you sure that when I get up there that you're ready for this? And I said, yes, I'm sure. So it wasn't any time at all that Rex drove into the driveway. We went over to Idaho and got married. And then we came back to College Place. And we walked off and left our girls going to school, and we went to California, and we were down there for 5 years, and then we came back up to Walla Walla, and we've been here ever since. And that's the story of our life.
After hearing how God led in Ellen's life, we think that now would be a better time for us to express our praise to God about the way he has led us. And I have to say, I know through experience also how very specially God leads widows. It has continued to amaze me since Ed died about 15 years ago. Yes, 15 years ago, shortly, a couple months ago, how faithfully God has been my husband, as he promises in the Bible. How well he has taken care of my children and myself when we felt abandoned, even though we knew that that was not his plan or his desire. But God has met our needs. And I'm sure he has met yours, and I'm sure he continues to answer prayers for you. So I'm wondering specifically about answers to prayer. What do you have to say for God today? I think Shauna had her hand up first. Well, I thought I saw your hand. Maybe I'm just nominating.
My hand wasn't up, but I could keep you all week. I think I shared one of the most recent ones last week, so... Well, many of you know how our past year has gone, how we had work and then work completely stopped and God told Troy to write a book. You know how that went in 5.5 months of writing. And then he gets to the final summary of where the thought gets to. And within 15 minutes of that, somebody walks in with a down payment for a kitchen. And after having never been out of work like that for 5.5 months, and how God took and brought money from different places and just looked after us. And I have to tell you, we have been working and working and working. And he just finished a whole bunch of kitchens. And in this last week, 2 days ago, we had 2 measurements, and we have another one this coming week. And you can't tell me that was not a miracle and a total answer to prayer. And then I got a tag in there that praying for our daughter and how God is working in her life. And it's such a joy to talk to her every single day and her to tell, Mom, I just hope I can raise her Gracie right. And she will be going to church school and she's learning Bible stories now and I'm singing to her and those are all answers to prayer. And I could keep you on forever, but those are two that are close to my heart at the moment.
And it shows in that little baby's face how happy she is. She clearly has a good home.
She has gone from... Sorry. My daughter, I don't know, many of you don't know, but she was... It was so Our daughter. Yes. She was in such a bad place and very depressed and just in bed or playing games and just could not, her house, she couldn't look after herself. She couldn't look after her house. In fact, we found out she was in a mental hospital from his family on Facebook. They never even contacted us. And to take that now and to have her raising this little baby and cleaning her house and cooking and meals and being happy and talking about God is just a direct answer to prayer.
Amen. And I think Lillian, did you have your hand up too? Anne. Okay, Anne.
God has worked such miracles, especially in the last 3 years, for us. And I just thank him. 3 years ago, my husband had been almost living in the hospital for about 6 months. And our son was had passed away, and I was really bad. And he helped me through that. And then we talked about leaving down there, because I couldn't stand to be down there anymore and see my son's house two doors down. And so we put our house on the market, and David was in the hospital, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And I prayed, and I kept praying that if it was God's will to move up here, we'd move up here. Well, we got up here, and the house that we were looking at, it didn't work out at all. And then I'm going, oh, great, now what are we going to do? And I'm going, no, God's got a plan for this. He's got a place for us. And he provided this wonderful place that we are, where we have the beautiful views and we can see the nature, the doe that came through the orchard here last week and everything, and which is really awesome. And what was really kind of neat about this is that I was praying so hard for us to have a house, and the gentleman that we bought the house from turned out that they were Adventists, and they had been praying because they couldn't sell the house. And they had been praying for somebody to buy their house. And the Lord put the two of us together. And it worked out. And basically, before we had even met them, he had made up his mind to sell the house to us. And some lady came and offered him full value for the house. And he said, no, we've already sold it. And which was to me just an absolute miracle, because we didn't know what we were going to do when the other one fell through. And but God had this all worked out, which is truly, truly awesome.
He's very good, isn't he?
And then I'm here.
And I could see as we were singing How Great Thou Art, how much that you really meant what you were singing. I could see it in your face.
I was also trying to listen to the music too.
Someone else?
You know, it'll be 15 years ago this Father's Day weekend that I lost my husband. And, you know, as a woman, you depend upon your husband for many, many things.
If nothing else, psychologically.
But, you know, I have found out through the years, no matter how little the request, whether it's to start the tractor, whether it's to start the weed whacker, the Lord says he's always there with you. And I say, Lord, you have promised to help me. And he has always been there to help in time of need. Not only that, he gives you blessings that you would have never received had you still been with your spouse in many different ways. And also I have found out in my work, it helps me to be a more understanding nurse with those who lose their spouses in their life. And I am involved in that and work. And so no matter what happens, There are blessings. If you look for the blessings and not deal on the problems that you're having, because there's reasons for that. It might be down the road you can reflect back and help someone else because of what you have gone through. Mm-hmm. And so life is so much easier if you dwell on the blessings that God gives you every single day instead of the little difficulties that life presents you.
Mm-hmm. We have a few more minutes. Is there anyone else?
A number of you were here a few months ago when I was anointed in this church. And I have often thought, you know, the answers to prayer aren't always dramatic. We look for the dramatic answers, but most of us are a little more mundane than that. And I'm one of those. I was anointed, but as a result of it, I wasn't miraculously healed. I had surgery, I went through chemotherapy, I went through radiation. And yet, I consider myself a miracle. For one thing, things could have been a whole lot worse than they were. A whole lot worse. So I am blessed that it was, in a sense, as minor as it was. But more than that, God can give such an incredible peace. It's not always easy. You don't always just go along swimmingly. But God is there every step of the way. And I know that through this experience, He has given me an incredible peace, just like through a number of other experiences as well. And I'm grateful that I can know God on that level and that I can know no matter what comes in the future, He'll be with me then as well.
Amen. Is there one more? If not, then I'd like to tell you about what happened when we were moving up here. You know, my husband passed away in Texas, deep South Texas, a long way from here. And I knew I didn't want to stay there. I was not the most loved pastor's wife. I'm not sure why. I tried to be a good pastor's wife, but the people did not care for me, at least many of them. And I wanted to get out of there. I didn't have any urge to continue staying where I was not wanted. So we chose to wait until, give ourselves a year to get accustomed to the new life. And at the end of the school year, we planned to move up here. But for a number of months, I was praying and praying, what am I going to do? I'm moving up here with no job. I'm moving up there with no house. And I've got two daughters and their brother, who we had not adopted, but was with us. And this is just kind of jumping off a cliff. And so there was a realtor up here who offered to help watch for jobs and house. And once in a while, he would email me about something, but nothing seemed to fit. You know, while we were more than 15 years in the mission field, and I never had a work visa, so there were many years where I did not work as a nurse, and I did not want to work as a nurse. I never particularly wanted to work as a nurse once I found out by experience what this was about, but I was told by parents, you started it, you finish it. So I did. And when we moved back to the States, I was told, get back into nursing, and I said, I won't. But after finding out that jobs that I could get were short-term jobs and going through several of those, I decided, okay, I better get back into nursing. I did, and a year later, my husband passed away. I was so grateful to God that I had a skill. But I knew I could never work again in a hospital after all those years and all the many changes in nursing. I could not go back to the hospital work. So I was very blessed in Texas to stumble upon a job in home nursing, pediatric home nursing. But I'm like, where in the world in the little town of Walla Walla am I going to get a job like that? And I wasn't finding any. But I would continue to get online and look. And as it turned out, apparently within hours of this job being posted at Walla Walla General Hospital, for a nurse with early Head Start, nurse with pediatric skills, it turned out that I needed to be bilingual, although they didn't post that, and a number of other things, I found the job. And I called, pretty much was quite sure that I would get this job. I've come across the conclusion since then that probably nobody else was qualified. And so this was an ideal job for me, a job I had loved having for 12 years until the hospital went down. But it prepared me for the one I've got now, thank God. But so that was resolved. But meanwhile, it was the problem of the house. And so I would get online and I would just see what houses were available. And I believe about April, I saw a house advertised that had apartments. And I knew I was going to have a hard time paying mortgage without my husband's income to help. So I was kind of keeping my eyes open for a place with apartments. And here was one in a style I loved, but we weren't moving until summer. And I said, well, God, you could keep that house for me. And I went on about my business, and I never really thought about it again. I never actually even prayed about it again that I know of. We moved up at the beginning of August. And as we drove down College Avenue, my girl said to me, oh, Mom, look, that house is for sale. That's the kind of house you like. I said, yeah, it is. But I wasn't really thinking too much more about it. This was Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon. Sunday morning, I decided, well, I better go find a place to rent while we're looking for a house. On my way to Andy's Market to get a paper, I thought, I'm just going to run down and look at that place, see if there's papers out about it in their little stand there. So I went over, and the owner happened to come out, and he showed me all around, and it had three apartments. Actually, it's four, but I loved the apartment particularly that the owner lived in. And they said, oh, we've got an offer coming Sunday night, but they want to use it as an investment and as a place of business. And these people had loved their home, and they had put much, much loving effort into the home and into the yard. And they wanted somebody to love their house, not to turn it into a business and make all kinds of changes. But, of course, they had to accept an offer. So they didn't give me a lot of hope. Monday morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on the door. And the owner, the wife of the couple, was there, and she said, they didn't come. Make an offer. So I did, and I knew that because I was going to be competing, I had to make it decent. So I actually offered what they were asking. Turned out the other people offered more. But the owners accepted my offer. And after I actually was moving in, it dawned on me, this is the house I saw in April. God kept it for me. And I love my house. a lot of work going in an old house, but I love where I live, and I thank God for it often. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you take such good care of us here on this sinful earth. You answer prayers so well, and you show yourself strong in our behalf. You teach us patience when we don't get what we want right away, and sometimes we don't get exactly what we asked for, but you give us better blessings. And with time, we can see how you have led us. We praise you for that. We praise you for the character development that comes to us through the way you do answer our prayers and the trust that you develop in us as we see how you care for us so faithfully. May we continue to grow in you is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.